Hey, this is Susie Larson. If you don't have time to listen to the full podcast, here's a highlight from today's show.
A Christ-centered home would prioritize the relationships like this. There's my spiritual journey. There's my spouse's spiritual journey. There's our marriage journey, then the child's journey. And we get this from Deuteronomy 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And then before it says, "Impress these truths upon your children," it says, "These truths are to be upon your hearts." In other words, I pass on to my children what is on my heart. So the family or Christ-centered home would understand the priority of relationships. The child-centered home puts the marriage in the background, puts the personal journey in the background, all investment, all energy, money, time, all of that, because the parent, and to validate the parent and what they're thinking here, they're thinking the best thing for my kid is all of me, all of my time, all of my money, all of my energy. And so it's a loving act to them to prioritize the children in the home. But a healthier, more loving act is to prioritize your spiritual journey so you have something to give, investing in your marriage if you're married, or if you're a single parent, even to honor marriage, to esteem it as highly valuable, but to make sure you have something to give. Because again, in the child-centered home, the child becomes the source of life. And we know there's only one source of life. God is love. We love because he first loved us. So I have to have something to give. And if I'm plugged into my child as the source of life, we know they take the life right out of you. Don't do a super job of putting life back into you.
And it gives the kids such a sense of security to know that there's some priority around the marriage and around the Christ-centered relationship. I remember, I don't know, I think it was probably a couple of years ago, I was talking to Greg Smalley about where he was out to dinner with at a home, a friend's home for dinner, and he asked the kids, the friend's kids, "What are some of the boundaries mommy and daddy have given you?" You know, and they said something like, "Don't interrupt when they're praying together. Don't interrupt when, once we're in bed, we stay in bed. And when they're in the bedroom and the door is shut and they're wrestling, I'm not supposed to."
And they're that's Greg's favorite. And they're wrestling.
And I can't bother them when they're wrestling. I love
but
that.
Let me tell you, that is a child who they do not feel neglected.
No,
they do not feel disconnected from. I mean, just, you know, yesterday I was going out of my way to try to run them out of the room. And when I start flirting with Amy, hugging or kissing, or, you know, I mean, they get into all the, "Oh, come on." Mom and Dad, you've got to find opportunities to do that more. And my kids know this. They're learning as they get older. The more Mom and Dad do that in public, the more we show that we're embarrassed, the more they're going to do it. So we're going to act like it doesn't bother us.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Been fun to kind of watch them navigate those waters.
Oh, that's fun. But then it also becomes a normal part of life, because that's the other thing. When you're teaching your kids abstinence as a young person, and then somehow they get married and that switch is supposed to flip. I mean, I know this is almost another whole topic, but some of this stuff has to be normal everyday life, where in an appropriate way you show affection to your spouse because they're a priority to you. You know, that would instill security and even a normalcy to affection in marriage, right?
Yeah, and what we're talking about today, we have got to see the impact on future marriages, because here's what sociologists tell us. It takes about 9 to 14 years in marriage to move from me to we.
Wow.
I mean, think about that for just a second. And I've been married now just over 16 years. And I see that. I was probably right in the middle of that 9 to 14. And now some of that is just our own sinful nature, desiring to look out, you know, for number one. But it's heightened coming out of a kid-centered home.
Mm.
When your parents have drilled into you, it is about you. It is about your grades. It is about your success. It's about your sports. It's about your activities. They go into marriage, and they're like, "No, whoa, wait. I haven't been taught, I haven't been conditioned growing up that I'm to lay down all of my interest and all of my likes and everything I want to do and everything I want to." It's not about me. It's I'm going to let some of that go so I can serve you.
Mm.
And that's why in a home, as you function as a family unit, you have to tell one child no, because it's not just about you. We can't do two activities this week with you because you have two other siblings. And so when Mom and Dad are planning the schedule this week, we're keeping all of our work, all of our church, all of our activities. And just one practical here, Susie, for parents that want help doing that, because they're like, how do we say no? How do we not allow one child or one child's activities or pursuits to dominate our home? Well, back up a little bit and start with prioritizing nights at home or prioritizing meals at home, and determine as a family how often you're going to be at home each week. And make this practical, because if you don't set this, the school, the church, and activity, sports, and all of that will. It'll just, you'll be handed calendars, you'll be handed activities,